In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My beloved, today we have the admission of the Mother of God. She has her great joy because she is going to be able to be met by her Son, the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he actually came in to meet her soul, to take her into the kingdom of heaven. She had the news about it 3 days before. The archangel Gabriel came and told her and gave her a beautiful twig or a branch from the kingdom of heaven. And she has been rejoicing over it, that she's going to finally come and be with her son, which she had loved more than anybody else could ever do, even in the kingdom of heaven. No one loved her son as much as she did. And my beloved, and today is a great joy for her because her son is coming to pick her soul up. And she has prepared her coffin and laid down in it, called all the friends. And she wanted to see all the disciples. And the disciples miraculously were brought by the angels with a cloud, like from all over the world. They all came and they were placed right in front of the house of Saint John the theologian, the apostle of love. He is also nicknamed by our people, and he has came out and saw all the disciples there. And when he saw all the disciples there, he had then felt that it's a great miracle, of course. Well, everybody was there except one disciple, and that was Saint Thomas, same one that didn't appear or wasn't there when Christ came for all the disciples. And anyway, so the Mother of God was rejoicing very much that all the disciples came to say goodbye to her. And but they started to weep, and as they were weeping that she is leaving, she was saying, "You're dampening my joy. I'm going to have the greatest joy in my life. I'm going to be reunited to my son, and I'm going to be taken to heaven. And you're sobbing and you're crying because you don't want to see me to leave. But I will never really leave you." And so the disciples and everybody was saying goodbye to her, and so, and then all of a sudden a great a noise came, and the Lord is actually coming down, and the Lord Jesus Christ is coming down together with the holy angels and all the saints, and the many saints are all coming to welcome the Mother of God. And when she sees the Lord, her son, she gets up from her bed and bows down to him, and then she goes down and lays down. And as she lays down, she didn't experience anything that we do when we are about to die, and we have feeling pains or discomforts and so on. She lay down and she just went to a nice little sleep with all the gentleness, and her soul just came out and went right into the hands of her son, Jesus Christ, and all the disciples, and all the people there, they saw all that, and it was a great, great then joy then, because they saw the, not only the Mother of God, but they saw the Lord, and they understood that the Mother of God is not going to really leave them. But still, they were sorrowful that she is leaving them in the body, and so they had to go to bury her, and she told her that she has to be buried in Gethsemane, and that's they had to make the trip all across Jerusalem, because they were on the other side of it, and they had a big procession, and many people came, the disciples, and of course Saint John was in front walking with the branch that was given to the Mother of God from the heavens, and they walk with the branch, and they come, and as they're walking, the other Jews that had killed the Lord, and they had so much hatred for him, they also had so much hatred for the Mother of God, they wanted to kill her, and they couldn't do it. But then when they found out that she had died, then they have sent a whole bunch of them to go after the procession so that they could grab her and burn her alive. I mean, burn her. This is what they wanted to do, because they had so much hatred. And as they're approaching the procession, and the procession was with the candles and with the incensing, and with all the beautiful singing of the psalms and so on. And so what happened to them is that all of a sudden a cloud comes over to them, the one that was following in the procession. And the cloud comes over them, and they all become blind. And they couldn't see anything. They couldn't see where they were going. And so that stopped their wanting to destroy the Mother of God's, even the body. But one priest of the Old Testament, he had so much hatred that somehow he went through and got right to the coffin that was brought, and he was going to topple over the Mother of God and throw her out from the coffin to defile her. And as he approached the coffin and he grabbed the coffin, he was going to overthrow it, the angel of God came and chopped his hands off. And immediately, of course, he went on his knees with a terrible pain, and he saw his wrists being there holding on to the coffin, and he started to cry out for help. And the apostle says, well, if you believe in Jesus Christ and if you accept him, then the Mother of God will heal you. And he did confess in Jesus Christ that he was actually the Son of God, that they knew it. They actually knew it. He told them about how they knew about the truth, that he was actually the Son of God, didn't want to accept him, and they knew that he was resurrected, all those things, and he confessed the truth, and then he's become he's converted, and he become a Christian, and he went with the procession. So many curings, so many healings were done while he was going while the procession was going, and as they brought the Mother of God and then later into the into the grave, before that, everybody that would ever touch her coffin or her would be healed, whether they were blind or whether they had no couldn't hear, or whatever sickness they may have, sicknesses that could not be cured, and they all were healed. The Mother of God was healing everybody, every sickness whatsoever. And Then they finally they closed the coffin, they put a heavy rock over her, and they went away. And then 3 days later, St. Thomas comes. St. Thomas comes, and he's so sorry that he wasn't there to say farewell to the Mother of God. And so he had begged them to please at least open the coffin so that he can see her and say his goodbye to her. And the disciples decided to go, and they opened the coffin, and all of a sudden, and that was on the third day, all of a sudden they see that there's only the linen that was she was wrapped in, as it was customary for the dead bodies to be wrapped in. And it was laying aside, and she wasn't there. And then so they understood that the Lord has resurrected her, just as he resurrected himself on the third day. And so then after that, they went and to their house, and they had, as usual, they had the feast of the trapeze, and then they would always leave a piece of food or a plate for the Lord, that for him to take, when they were blessing, when they blessed and finished blessing the food, and so all of a sudden the sky opens up for them, and the Mother of God appears to them, and they see the Mother of God right there, and with all the angels and the great saints and the prophets, and they see the Mother of God as she is blessing them and saying that she will always be with them, and that she, of course, we all know that she loves us more than any mother could love us. You know, so many mothers here today in the church with, and you know, you take all your mothers and all the world, you get them all together, and you try to measure their love that they have for their own children, and you never match the love that the Mother of God has for us. Maybe it'll be just a little 1% of the love, you know, from all the mothers in the world. That's how the Mother of God loves us, because we're her children. Why are we her children? Well, we're her children for a simple reason, because we receive, for instance, the Holy Communion. We receive the body and blood of our Lord. And so we become actually part of the Lord, and he is part of us. And the Mother of God, of course, she is accepting us as being her own children. And so she wants our salvation. She wants our salvation so badly that she actually does cry out to her Son every moment of her life for our salvation. That means for you and for me. She is crying out for our salvation. But of course, the Lord says that I will not give them salvation unless they really want that. Unless they really want it, I'm not going to impose unto them. They have to want that salvation. And that's for you and for me a lesson to know, that we have to really want to love our Lord. We have to learn to love our Lord. And if we will love our Lord and we want to be with him, he will give us the salvation through the pleading of our Lord, of our Lord's mother, through the Mother of God. The Mother of God is always there ready to help us. How often are we approaching her? How often are we approaching her? How often are we approaching our Lord? Is probably the more important question. We should be approaching the Lord all our time that we have, and the Mother of God afterwards, and then the guardian angel. We should never lose sight of the guardian angel, because he's protecting us. He's protecting us from terrible enemies. And enemies that want to bring us together to their place where they have picked her to be without the Lord, to be in living in the darkness, and then in the hatred and the gnashing of teeth and all the hatred that they have trying to teach all our people to be over here. Did you ever see yourself being angry? Did you ever look at yourself in the mirror when you become angry, how your face changes, how everything is totally different, and you're different. How you cannot stand anybody in front of you. Well, this is the action of the evil one. The evil one has grabbed your heart at that time, and this is how you're behaving, my beloved. Well, and this is the behavior is going to be always in the hell, and that's prepared for the evil one. There's always going to be the gnashing of the teeth and the hatred and constant torture, because the filthy evil ones, they cannot stand the brightness of the God's grace. They cannot stand God, and they hate God. And as we have experienced several times in our life, all of us, we've experienced how, you know, what happens to a child or happens to a person when somebody approaches him that he hates and he can't stand. What happens to the child? And he's tortured. Then he's tortured. The wife is tortured when the husband approaches her, when she doesn't have the love for him, or the opposite. The husband cannot tolerate or cannot bear when the wife approaches him when he hates her. And all this is what hell is all about. My beloved, the hell is not prepared for those who love the Lord, because they don't want to be part of that. They don't want to be part of the haters. They want to have love. And love is, when love is in your heart and you have peace, then you want to hug your loved ones. You want to be close to them. You don't want to be separated. You cannot even bear to have the separation. And this is what should be with us. When we love our Lord, that we should not want to be separated with him. We want to, with all our heart, we want to be with him, and we want to be embraced by his grace, and then we feel comfortable, then we feel so wonderful when we know that the Lord is embracing us. And that's what the Mother of God had felt when the Lord had taken her soul, and then after that he resurrected her body, and he brought her to the kingdom of heaven, from where she is actually looking at us all the time and just waiting for us to cry out to her, to show her that we love her also, and so that she can bestow her love on our heart, and then bring us peace and reconcile us to her Son and to each other, and make our heart to be so wide that it can actually encompass or take into the heart. It could take the whole world and everybody in it, because that's what happens. The enlargement of heart becomes so much when we have true love for the Lord and for the kingdom, for the heavenly dwellers, and for all the people. Then we don't have any enemy. We can't think that of anybody that's to be our enemy, except the filthy evil ones and the sin. And the sin is our greatest enemy, because through the sin we give the power to the filthy scums. And my beloved, let's continue to cry out to the Mother of God, so that she will not abandon us, so that she will keep on taking care of us, and because we know that she loves us, and even though she also knows that we were the cause of the great suffering that her Son had undertook before the crucifixion and at the crucifixion, that he had taken that for us because of our sins, because of my sins and your sins. And so let's try to remember that more. And yet the Mother of God never turned on us, knowing that we were a cause of her Son's great agony, great sufferings before the cross and then at the cross. Mother of God knows that the Lord loves us. He did it for us to save us. He did all that for us so that we will be able to go to the kingdom of heaven and be able to rejoice and the greatest joy to be in His presence and not shun away from His grace and to be actually embraced by Him and by all the heavenly dwellers and to have the love in our heart to them in return, and to feel that there is nothing in this world and nothing in any world that will be greatest to be in the embrace of our Lord and to be closer to the Mother of God and all the holy saints and all the saints. Amen.